Archer's Omnibus, 10 to 15 January 1999.
At 11:15,
BBC Radio 4. Now it's just after 10 o'clock, time for The Archers.
Go and fetch it.
Morning.
Go on. There's a good boy.
You're an early bird.
Oh, hello, Cathy. Yes. I could wish I was at home in bed.
Oh, me too.
Morning, Jamie. Jamie, aren't you going to say hello to Mrs. Archer?
Evidently not.
And what about Daniel? Are you going to say hello to Daniel?
He's got a ball over there.
Go on, love. You go and help Daniel find his ball.
Last. Let's sit down.
You sound like I feel.
Oh, we've just had tears and tantrums.
Oh, dear.
More than I can cope with at this hour of a Sunday morning.
Really?
Well, you know Sid's New Year resolution that he's going to get fit.
Yes.
Well, he's taking it really seriously. He goes for a run around the village every morning.
Good heavens.
Only this morning, Jamie decided he wanted to go too.
Oh, dear.
Oh, he got so upset when Daddy jogged off without him. So I said we'd come out here and wait for him.
That's what I'm doing.
Then Jamie can join him for the final lap.
Waiting for Shula.
Oh, is she home already?
Well, they're due back this morning. In fact, they should have landed at Gatwick by now.
Oh, it's a long drive from Gatwick.
Oh, we don't expect them for a few hours, but it was a mistake telling Daniel. He's been up since before six, and every 5 minutes it's been, is Mummy here yet?
Oh, dear.
After about the 20th time, Phil was visibly beginning to fray.
I know how he feels.
So I thought I'd better bring Daniel out for a walk.
Doesn't look like he wants to play with Jamie.
I told him we could watch for Mummy's car.
Dad!
Yes, darling?
Is Mummy here yet?
Not yet, no. I tell you what, give the ball to Cathy and she'll throw it for you.
Why me?
Because you're younger than me and you can throw it further. And then you and Jamie can have a race to see who can get the ball first.
All right.
Right, give me the ball. Now, Jamie, fetch the ball, OK? Here it comes.
Go on, Daniel, run.
It's like throwing sticks for a dog, isn't it?
As long as it keeps them entertained.
Go on, Jamie.
I must say, I'm jolly glad Shula only went for a fortnight. I love my little grandson to bits, but having him 24 hours a day...
Morning!
Oh, hello, I didn't see you coming.
No, well, you were busy watching those two.
Morning, Sid. You had a good run.
Oh, it's grand, thanks.
I'm terribly impressed. I'm sure most people's New Year resolutions have fallen by the wayside.
Cathy never believed I'd keep it up.
No, I didn't.
She only managed a couple of days.
I just find it so boring, running around in circles to no purpose.
Well, what do you mean, to no purpose? The purpose is to get fit, son. Keep up with me, little lad.
Talking of who?
I live to be 110.
I promised you'd run round the village green with him before you go in.
Dad!
Where's the ball, Daniel? Have you found it?
It's not here yet.
You asleep?
No. No, I just closed my eyes for a second.
Liar.
Do you want me to drive?
No. But you better keep talking, otherwise I might nod off.
I know what'll keep you awake. Now, where's it gone? I'm sure I put it in this bag.
What are you looking for?
Ah, here we are. Now. There. Now you can imagine your back sitting in that little beachfront bar.
Sipping an ice-cold beer.
Feeling the sand trickling between your toes.
Oh, was that only yesterday?
I think so. I've lost track. What day is it?
Sunday. A very cold, grey, overcast English Sunday.
Oh, I hope Mum's remembered to turn the heating on at home.
I hope you turn the electric blanket on and we can fall straight into bed.
You'll be lucky.
I know.
Daniel won't be suffering from jet lag.
Precisely.
Oh, I hope he's been all right.
Your mum would have said if there'd been any problems.
I wonder if he missed me.
Not half as much as you missed him.
Probably not. Can you imagine if we'd had him with us?
Yes.
He wouldn't have let us lie in bed half the morning.
True.
And then take 2 hours over breakfast, stroll gently down to the beach.
Well, Daniel doesn't do gentle strolling, does he?
Lounge about under a palm tree.
No.
No, we'd have been rushing about. He'd have been kicking through the sand and doing his famous helicopter impression. Oh, I can't wait to see him.
Hello, Neil.
Morning, Mr. Archer.
I didn't expect to find you here.
No, neither did I. Debbie was supposed to take over half an hour ago, but
She's having a bit of a lie-in.
I didn't think you were all that keen on sheep.
Oh, I'd rather have pigs any day, but beggars can't be choosers.
No, I wish I could have you back at Hollertree.
You and me both.
But I'm afraid, at the moment...
I know.
We just can't run to a pig man.
It's the same everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you what really annoys me, though.
What's that?
Oh, could you just pass me over the wet mouth drench?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd better just do this pair before I forget. No,
yeah, sure.
The thing that annoys me... Come on, just open your mouth for me.
Need a hand?
No, I've got it. Yeah, I've got it. No, what happened, you see? Debbie as good as promised me some field work. Mm-hmm. Come on, you two, open your mouth.
Well, I thought Brian had got Mike Tucker doing the ploughing.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Debbie offers it to me, and in the meantime, her dad gives the job to Mike.
Oh, dear.
So all I end up with is the odd shift in here when Debbie needs a night off and the students doing whatever it is students do on a Saturday night.
Oh, that's bad luck.
Yeah, you're telling me. Anyway, you didn't come here to listen to my troubles.
Well, no, I wanted a word with Brian, actually. It's the Borsetshire NFU lunch this Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
At the Feathers. I wondered if he was going.
Who's the speaker?
Oh, someone from one of the big banks. I forget which one. He's going to talk about farming your way out of recession.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bank managers know about it, huh?
He's their agricultural expert.
Sitting in their nice, cosy offices with their job security and their pension plans.
Yeah. I don't suppose he'll be able to tell us anything we don't know already.
Oh, darling.
Oh, hello, Mum.
Welcome back. It's wonderful to see you.
Oh, you too.
Oh, boy, am I glad to be home.
The journey frightful.
Very long.
And we seem to have mislaid a night somewhere along the way.
Hello, dear.
Where's Daniel?
That's funny. Where's he gone? Daniel? He's been so excited about you coming home. Daniel! What are you doing in there?
Daniel?
Mummy's here.
Aren't you going to come and say hello to me?
Are you hiding?
I'll go in there and talk to him.
I'll put some coffee on, shall I?
Oh, that'd be lovely, thanks.
So, how was it?
Oh, Jill, it was fabulous.
You look terrific. So brown.
Yeah, well, you could have laid on some better weather for our homecoming.
Sorry.
The last couple of days, we've scarcely moved from the beach. Pure white sand, and the sea is this perfect azure blue.
Oh. Is that Shooter's car? Oh, Alistair.
Hello.
Wasn't expecting you for hours yet.
I was convinced the plane would be delayed.
Where's Shooter?
In the sitting room.
Saying hello to Daniel.
I wouldn't disturb them.
Oh, no, of course not. Anyway, did you have a good time? Oh,
marvellous. I was just telling Jill.
Well, wasn't St. Kitts hit by one of those hurricanes?
Hurricane George, yes, in October. People had to work day and night to rebuild everything.
Well, we've had some pretty terrible weather here.
No hurricanes to speak of.
How have things been, anyway?
Don't ask.
Oh, pretty grim on the whole. Obviously, nothing's moved on the TB front.
No, well, I knew there wouldn't be any.
Which means our milk income is way down on last year. Well, it's the same with everything, really. I mean, the price we're getting for pig meat just now.
Phil?
If things don't improve, we're really going to have to consider the future of Hollertree.
Alistair's just back from his honeymoon. I'm sure the last thing he wants to hear about is the price of pigs.
Back to reality.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing that really worries me. David and Ruth.
Now, don't start on that.
They just don't seem to grasp the seriousness of the situation.
Phil!
But when I last spoke to David, it seems months ago now, he was pretty worried.
Yes, but they neither of them seem to know how to economise.
Let's leave it till Tuesday, shall we?
Why, what's happening on Tuesday?
Oh, we're having a formal meeting of the partners to try and thrash something out.
All right, darling, I'll see you later.
Oh, Shula.
Hello, Dad.
Don't you look well? Come and give me a hug.
Oh.
Is Daniel all right?
I don't know.
What's wrong?
He didn't seem to want to talk to me. I think he's trying to punish me.
What?
For going away for so long. Has he been all right?
Yes, no trouble at all.
Well, he made a bit of a fuss last week.
What?
Oh, that was nothing. Nothing at all. He'll get over it. Now, come and sit down and have some coffee and tell us all about St. Kitts.
Mm. Oh, did you bring that bag in, Alistair?
Yep, it's here.
Thanks. We've brought you some presents.
Oh, darling, you shouldn't have bothered.
Oh, it's nothing much. It's just they sell absolutely gorgeous Sea Island cotton. And there you are, Dad. That's yours.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, look at that.
It looks a lot brighter here in England.
It's very nice, thank you.
Not too exotic for you?
No.
You'll be the star of the village fete in that.
Let me see. This one's yours, Mum.
Thank you.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Daniel.
You look exhausted.
Oh, I've been working nights.
Really?
Lambing at home farm.
Oh.
Yeah. Got home this morning, ready to curl up in bed and have a bit of a kip before dinner, and what happens?
Emma has her mates round.
Oh, no.
I mean, I told them to turn down the music, and they did, but I don't know what it is with teenage girls.
Oh, you mean all the screaming and giggling?
Every time I started to nod off.
There's your pint.
Why can't they talk quietly like normal people?
They never do.
And they're running up and downstairs every 5 minutes in them great clumpy shoes of theirs.
Here's your change, Neil.
Susan's right. We need a bigger house.
Afternoon, Neil.
Oh, hello, Sid.
Where have you been?
Just out on the forecourt, doing stretching exercises.
Oh, you're still at it then, the physical jerks?
Yeah. Robert Snell came by while I was out there suggesting I should think about joining the Grey Gables Health Club.
Oh,
what's wrong with that?
Do you know how much it costs?
Oh, yeah, I know it sounds a lot, but I mean, if you go there twice a week...
And where are you going to find the time?
Each visit's only costing, what, not much more than a couple of pints.
Oh, I think I'll stick with the beer.
You're not serious, are you, Sid?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't think you'd like it.
Well, how do you know?
I used to work there, remember? It's really not your sort of place.
Oh, no, I think it's exactly my sort of place, where people take fitness seriously. I mean, what do I get in here? Everyone just takes a mick.
Oh, that's only because you're making the rest of us feel guilty.
I mean, what have I got to lose?
About a stone.
Yes. Anyway, Robert says you can have a trial session to see if you want to join, so... Me, I'm off to the health club tomorrow. Give it a whirl.
Evangeline started up from the... The what? Oh, chaise lounge, indeed. I swear I did not type that. This machine has one of its own. Now, chaise longue. Ah, that's better. Now, where was I? Had she remembered to lock her drawing room door? Yes, yes, that's it. Had she...
Julia?
Oh, just a minute.
What are you doing in there?
I'm in the middle of a sentence.
We've asked you before not to use the computer during office hours.
Oh, but Elizabeth, it's lunchtime. I thought I could just dash off half a chapter while you were entertaining your clients in the dining room.
Nigel is dealing with the clients.
Well, you shouldn't skip lunch, Elizabeth. It's very bad for you.
Only I need to do a revised timetable for this afternoon session.
Drawing room
door. So can I get to the computer,
right,
please?
All right. Just let me save this. Now, what is it you do?
Click onto file.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, of course. I shall never get the hang of these machines. It's so frustrating. You know, my imagination is just bubbling with ideas, but I haven't got the typing skill to keep up.
Look, I'll save your file for you, but please, can I get to the computer?
Don't be so impatient.
Look, we're in the middle of an important conference, and we've got the architect coming at 2:30.
What architect?
To look at the roof.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
How depressing.
Tell me about it.
Well, I am going out this afternoon. I'm having tea at Grey Gables.
What?
Yes, I'm meeting my friend Elspeth. Do you remember Elspeth?
Well, no.
Yes, a great chum of Nelson's.
I thought you were supposed to be on an economy drive.
Oh, I am.
Well, you're not going to save money having tea at Grey Gables.
It's an investment.
What?
Well, isn't that what you say when you're whining and dining people of influence?
And your friend Elspeth is a person of influence?
Oh, no, but her son is. He's in the book business.
The book business?
So she says.
You're sure she didn't say he was a bookmaker?
Oh, don't be facetious, Elizabeth.
Well, with your track record...
He is a publisher. He publishes books. And what am I going to need once my novel is finished?
She's going to be a little bit late. So would you mind awfully hanging on till she gets here?
How long for? Only I've arranged to meet Robert.
It shouldn't be more than 10 minutes or so.
Oh, well, all right.
Thanks, Linda.
By the way, did Eddie Grundy manage to get through to you?
Eddie?
The call was put through here for some reason. He said he needed to speak to you as a matter of urgency.
What about?
Cushion covers.
What?
He said you'd understand.
Oh, Lord. I hope he's not going to try and sell me any more.
What?
I bought this cushion cover as a Christmas present. You know, embroidered by Clary.
Oh.
But it wasn't actually very good. Not a patch on the bunch I did for the
arts. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello.
Good afternoon.
Miserable day, isn't it?
Yes. Can I help you with anything?
No. I'm meeting a friend for tea. I know I'm rather early, but you won't mind me waiting, will you?
No, of course not. But if you'll excuse me, I have to get back to work.
Yes, and I must update the bookings.
Enjoy your tea.
Thank you. I say, you're very good at that, aren't you?
At what?
Working the computer.
Well, it's not difficult.
No, my problem is, you see, I never learned to type.
Hello, Lindy.
Oh, Robert.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm afraid I'll be a few minutes yet. Kelly's phoned to say she'll be late for her shift.
Okay.
I was just admiring your wife's dexterity.
She shouldn't be more than about 10 minutes.
No, you see, when I was a girl, you only learned to type if you had no talent for anything else.
I'll meet you at the health club if you like.
No, it's all right. I'll wait.
Well, my sister Ellen learned to type, of course, but I was destined for higher things. Though I have to say I regret it now.
Not being able to type?
Yes, you see, I'm writing a novel.
What novel?
A romantic saga.
That's very ambitious.
Well, one should always aim for the stars, don't you think?
Well, yeah.
And having tapped into my creative imagination, I must say I've unleashed a torrent.
A torrent of what?
Oh, the words just come tumbling out. Unfortunately, my typing simply can't keep pace. By the time I've plodded to the end of one sentence, the next three have disappeared into the ether.
What you need is a voice recognition package.
Robert.
I beg your pardon.
It's a special piece of software.
What?
And an attachment for your computer. It means you can teach the computer to recognise your voice. And when you've done that, you just talk and it'll do the typing for you.
Really? But that sounds exactly what I need.
It's very difficult to operate and it's very expensive.
No, not really, as long as you install it properly.
And could you do that for me?
You have to have a sound card, of course.
A what?
But I could get that at trade.
Robert, I really don't think this is...
I'll willingly set it up for you.
But that's marvellous. A machine to do my typing and I save money on it.
Caroline!
Oh, hello. When did you get back?
Yesterday morning.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, it was heaven. Absolute heaven.
Hello, Daniel.
Oh, come and sit by me, sweetheart. I'm just going to have a word with Auntie Caroline. Every time I turn my back on him, he's afraid I'm going to leave him again.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he's doing his best to make me feel very guilty.
Not succeeding, I hope.
He was absolutely determined not to go to sleep last night. And we were woken up at the crack of dawn this morning by him climbing into bed with us.
Not the best treatment for jet lag, I should imagine.
Well, it's not so bad for me, but poor Erster's had to go into work today.
Oh, dear.
I've told him not to do anything that involves a scalpel.
So when are you starting back at the stables?
Oh, not till next week. I thought I'd better give this young man my full and undivided attention for a few days.
Well, look, when you finished your swim, why didn't you come to my office for a cup of tea?
Oh, we're going over to Lower Loxley, actually.
Oh, well, never mind. But we must get together soon. I'm dying to hear all about some kids.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yes, can I... Oh, hi, Sid.
Hello, Sid.
Oh, Julia. Didn't realise. Hello.
What brings you here?
Well, the thing is, it's about the health club. I wondered if I could,
You want to join?
Well, possibly. Only Robert Snell told
me... Watch where you're going, Daniel!
He said I could do a sort of trial session.
Yes, that's right.
Good boy.
If you go to the desk, there's a young woman called Julia.
No, there's no one there.
Oh.
Yeah, I sort of hung around for a few minutes, but...
Oh, dear. I'd better come and sort you out. Shula, are you at home this evening?
Yes.
I'll give you a ring.
But you're supposed to be on leave.
Oh, it'll only take me a couple of hours.
Don't you believe it?
If it'll solve her problem...
Robert... I've had a great deal more experience of Julia Pargeter than you have. Remember the fashion show?
Oh, but this is different.
She is a complete law unto herself. She never listens to what you tell her.
All I'm going to do is install the programme and show her how to use it.
She doesn't understand the first thing about computers.
She doesn't have to, Lindy. That's the whole point of software like this.
Oh, yes. Well, she can't make it work. She'll be on the phone every 5 minutes demanding that you come round.
I've said I'll install it for her on Thursday. And on Friday, I'm flying out to Frankfurt.
Oh, yes, so you are.
So she's on her own.
Robert, Linda, could I ask you a favour?
Hello, bud.
Hello, Sid.
Hiya.
So you decided to give it a try, then?
Yeah.
Give what a try?
I suggested Sid should join the health club.
Oh, really?
Only Judy's just sorting out a problem with the sauna, so she can't do his induction just yet. So could I leave him with you, do you think?
Yeah, of course. We'll look after him, won't we, Lindy?
Actually, I need to have a word with Jennifer Aldridge.
Oh, Mrs. Aldridge here? Over there in the green sort of legging thing.
So, you'll excuse me.
There you go, Sid. You can have Linda's exercise bike.
Right. I shall leave you in Robert's capable hands. Ginny should only be a few minutes.
Right. Thanks, Carol.
Bye.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes. Thanks.
You may find you need to decrease the resistance a bit.
Sorry, what?
On the bike. Linda always sets it pretty high.
Oh. Yeah, well, of course, she's used to bicycling, isn't she? Used to have thighs of steel pedaling about on that old bone shaker of hers.
Yeah. Just push that button there. Down about three, I think. Ginny will sort you out eventually.
Right. This induction business, what does it actually involve?
Oh, it's quite straightforward. She just weighs you, measures you.
Measures what?
All over. So you can chart your progress, you see.
Shelly looks about 16, that Ginny.
And then she asks you a few questions about, diet, lifestyle.
Well, what sort of questions?
Our usual stuff. What you have for breakfast, how much you drink.
Sure, I want to reveal all that to a strange young woman.
She's very nice. And then what she does, she feeds all your details on the computer and it spews out the perfect exercise programme for you.
Oh, right. Must say, it's not quite what I was expecting.
What?
Well, this place.
It's very well equipped.
Yeah, I can see that. It's more... Well, the people.
What about them?
Well, they're all women.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Don't you find it a bit disconcerting?
What?
Being surrounded by all this... I mean, Mrs. Aldridge, I really don't think a woman of a certain age should wear lycra.
I don't know. I'd rather like to see Linda in a leotard.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, Mrs. Snell. I mean, she's got the figure for it, hasn't she? Yeah, very, very nice. Only, I was expecting more, you know, men.
Sylvester Stallone type, you mean? Pumping iron?
Yeah, sort of.
They come in the evenings.
Yeah, no, evenings are no good for me, see. I have to be behind the bar.
Afternoons are much more relaxed.
I have to say that if you wasn't here, I'd feel pretty uncomfortable.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I guess Kathy's right. This ain't my kind of place.
Is it too cold for you?
No, it's fine.
Bit of a change from the Caribbean.
Well, yes. But it's good to let Daniel run round a bit. With a bit of luck, he'll wear himself out and go to sleep at a reasonable hour. Oh. Sometimes I just have to get out of the house. Julia getting me down? Oh, it's not just her.
The roof?
The architect came this afternoon.
Oh, what did he say?
Not a lot. Shook his head and sucked his teeth in the sort of way that implied this is going to cost you an arm and a leg.
But you knew that.
Yes. I just don't know how we're going to manage.
Oh, dear.
You know, when Nigel and I got married, I thought it'd be rather jolly being mistress of Lower Loxley.
But it's not.
It's the least jolly thing imaginable. Every time we start to get the overdraft under control, something else goes wrong.
Oh, Daniel, not that way, darling. We're going to see Ellie May.
Sorry. I must stop going on about it.
No, it's all right.
Tell me some good news. Tell me all about your wonderful honeymoon.
Well, before we leave the subject of doom and gloom...
Yeah?
Are things all right at home?
You mean at Brookfield?
Yes, only when we got back yesterday, Dad was having a bit of a moan about David and Ruth.
Oh, no, he doesn't stop.
Why?
Well, you know how things are for farmers at the moment. And they're not making any money, and with the TB on top of everything else.
But that's not David and Ruth's fault.
Yeah, but they can't agree about how to handle the situation. They've been endlessly carping and bickering. And tempers have been getting frayed. Actually, they've called a formal partners meeting for tomorrow.
So I gathered.
Won't do any good. They'll just sit round the table and carp and bicker some more.
Well, at least Mum will be there. And if anyone can pour oil on troubled waters...
I'm not so sure. I get the distinct impression that she's with Dad on this one. Reckons that David and Ruth are, you know, squandering the inheritance.
The electricity bill arrived this morning.
Oh, yeah.
£1,200.
Oh, that's pretty average for this time of year.
Your dad doesn't think so.
Oh, why? What's he been saying?
I haven't spoken to him. When I dropped Josh off with your mum, she said he was thoroughly depressed about it.
No reason to be. Right. That's this lot done. Do you want to open the gate?
Okay.
Go on, you girl. Off you go.
It's just...
What?
Well, he's bound to bring it up, isn't he? At the meeting this afternoon.
What, is this we economise on the use of electricity? How are we supposed to do that?
I don't know, but...
Not the caravan.
It'll just set him off complaining on our supposed extravagant lifestyle again.
Oh, come on now. You're getting paranoid.
He blamed us for the accountant's bill last week.
I wish I hadn't told you about that. It wasn't our fault anyway.
And he still blames me for the TB.
No, he doesn't.
He may say he doesn't, but in his heart he still holds me responsible.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Eddie.
Sorry, Eddie, the answer's no.
Aye?
We haven't got any work going. If we could afford it, we'd take on a pig man.
Oh, I wasn't going to ask about work.
Ah, you want to borrow something?
No.
Oh. Well, what then?
It's about, it's about that cushion cover.
What?
That you bought.
You mean the one that Clary embroidered?
Yeah, that's right.
What about it?
Well, the thing is, I wasn't supposed to have sold it yet.
Why not?
It wasn't completely finished.
Oh, I thought it looked a bit tatty.
Well, this is it, you see. Clary's embarrassed that it wasn't quite up to her usual standard, so she's insisting that I get it back off you.
What, and give us our money back?
Oh, yeah, that's the general idea.
Fine.
But I haven't got it anymore.
Aye?
I gave it to me Auntie Rose for a Christmas present.
Did you?
That's why I bought it in the first place, and she was dead chuffed with it. She thought it was great.
Ah. So, no chance of getting it back then?
Not really, no.
Oh,
tell me you were working at the Bull again last night.
Only for a couple of hours.
You'll wear yourself out.
Needs mustard, I'm afraid. You finished with that jug?
Yep.
I'll pass it over and I'll give it a wash.
Yep.
Okay. Got a letter from the council this morning saying we owe 3 months' council tax.
No.
And if we don't pay it straight away, they'll take us to court.
Oh, Clary.
The annoying thing is, I was absolutely sure we paid it. I remember quite distinctly, I had the money set aside. I said to Eddie, pay the council tax before you pay anything else. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble.
Oh, dear.
Exactly.
You think he spent the money on something else?
Pints of ale, if past history's anything to go by. Anyway, is that all the washing up?
I think so, yes.
Good.
You should make him find the money, instead of you working your fingers to the bone.
If only he hadn't turned down that hedging job at Home Farm. 2 weeks' work! Oh, I could kill him sometimes.
Well, whatever you do, you're not going to go spending your washing machine money on the council tax.
Oh, no. No. I've got no intention of doing that, don't you worry. We're going to look at one this evening, actually. Barely a year old.
How much?
150.
Sounds ideal.
Oh, I hope so. I really do. Honestly, if I have to hand wash any more of Joe's underwear...
Oh, don't. The very thought.
Believe me, Pat, the thought of it ain't half as bad as the reality.
And are your hands any better?
Well, a bit. Do you know, my mum always had hands like this. Red and chapped. It's horrible.
It makes you realise, doesn't it, just how hard life was before we all had washing machines.
I don't know how they managed. I certainly can't.
But £1,200.
I did look up what the bill was this time last year, and it was about the same.
Yes, that is maybe, but it's still a great deal of money.
What are you suggesting, Dad? We generate our own electricity? Invest in a windmill?
David.
Well, I'm sorry, Mum, but...
Look, can we start at the beginning? Let's go through the capital expenditure. All this money that you say will have to be spent over the next few months.
I've done a list of all the major items. Here we are. Hollow Tree. Bringing the sow's accommodation up to standard.
Yeah, well, that work's already been done.
£10,000.
So it's got to be paid for.
Modernisation of the grain store.
Well, that'll have to be done before harvest.
And it can't be put off for another year?
Well, I'm afraid not, no. We're only doing it to comply with the new standards.
And that'll be £15,000.
Minimum.
Oh, dear.
And then there's the new fertiliser spreader.
Yeah, well, at least we save a bit on that.
Oh, we hadn't actually agreed that...
Come on, Dad, we've been through all this. A second-hand machine was an excellent buy. It was a bargain.
Yes, but you should have consulted the rest of us.
It was a dispersal sale. I had to take a decision on the spot.
But if you're going to go on doing things off your own bat...
Look, what's done is done. There's no point in arguing about it.
But all I'm saying...
Yes, all right, Phil. So we're talking about 26,000. Expenditure that definitely can't be avoided.
That's right.
And what about labour costs?
Well, we can't cut back any further.
We're working all hours as it is with all the extra young stock we've got.
And having to manage without a pigman.
So there's no question of cutting Bert's hours, for example?
No, no.
No chance.
No, definitely not.
Well, at least you're all agreed on something. But if we can't save on capital outlay or on labour, then it's got to be personal expenditure.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mum.
What?
Don't you think it's a bit unnecessary, Jill? Scrimping and saving to claw back a few pence on the household bills.
Exactly. When all we have to do is talk nicely to the bank manager. Get him to up the overdraft for a few months. I mean, things are bound to pick up in the spring.
Eddie! Oh. Hello, love.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, no. What have I done now?
Council tax.
Ah, I saw we got a letter from the council.
We had the money put aside last month.
Yeah, trouble is, as I recall, there wasn't quite enough to put by to cover the feed bill.
Oh, Eddie.
And they were saying they'd refuse to supply us any more if we didn't pay.
How many times do I have to tell you? Ain't no good robbing from Peter to pay Paul.
A question of priorities, weren't it? Oh, and another thing. We owe Caroline Pemberton 25 quid.
What?
I got that cushion cover back.
Oh, thank heaven for that. What about the other one?
Ah, Ruth said she gave it her auntie for Christmas and she can't get it back.
Well, she'll have to, Eddie. The school's insisting.
Well, if she can't, at least it's 25 quid we'd have to find.
What's this we? You flogged them cushion covers and we're nothing to do with
it. Yeah, I know.
And you spend the money so you can darn well pay it back.
Hey, do you know how much I got to my name at this moment? £3.56.
Yeah. Well, just as soon as you get some work.
And we'll need some juice in the van if we're going over to Darrington tonight.
First person you pay is Caroline.
What about the council tax?
Look, it's one thing being a bit behind with the bills, but I ain't having us owing money to our friends and neighbours.
I've been thinking. You know this family credit lock?
Oh, I told your wedding. That ain't for the likes of us. It's for folks what's really destitute.
What do you call us? Council's going to take us to court. They're threatening to cut off the telephone.
Well, we wouldn't be in this situation if you and Joe didn't waste so much money down the pub.
Oh, come on. I ain't been near the bull in ages.
Who was down there last week?
Only because I was trying to fix you up with a washing machine. Hey, I thought Edward had football practice tonight.
Don't change the subject.
I'm not. It's just, if Edward's got football, what's he doing back here?
Eh?
He just went in the house.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look. He jumped his bike just by the door.
But it's only just gone three. He should be in school.
Dad must have bunked off early.
Oh, no, not him as well.
Learning off his big brother.
Oh, Eddie, what are we going to do?
Well, I'm going to finish cutting up this tree.
Edward! Edward! I want a word with you.
I wish I shared your confidence. I really do.
Things always pick up eventually.
Eventually, yes. But I'm afraid that eventually, in this case, maybe 2 or 3 years down the line.
2 or 3 years?
You don't think that's being a bit over-pessimistic?
I have to say, I agree with your father.
Oh, come on, Mum.
At the moment, there just doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. We don't know when we shall be free of the TB, and there's no sign of any upturn in prices. And until we can see things starting to pick up, I, for one, am not prepared to borrow any more money.
In fact, your father and I have already decided to cut our monthly drawings.
When did you decide to do that?
A couple of weeks ago.
Without talking to us about it.
Well, we decided the time had come to make economies.
You're backing us into a corner, you know.
What are you talking
about? You're saying to us, look, we can live on less money, so you can too.
We're not saying that at all.
Yes, you are.
But it's surprising where you can make savings if you really put your mind to it.
Jill, I'm sorry, but I haven't got time to trail around half the shops in Borchester just so I can save 20p on nappies.
I wasn't suggesting that you should.
And that's where the money goes, you know. It goes on the kids.
Yeah, it's an expensive business, having children.
I mean, I find it quite shocking sometimes, the amount of money we get through. But we're not frittering it away, you know. We're not spending it on ourselves.
I don't think you appreciate just how much it costs these days.
What?
Bringing up children, keeping them clothed and fed.
I beg your pardon?
Let alone entertained.
We had 4 of you, don't forget.
Yes, I know, but...
And none of you had velvet dresses or designer dungarees every few months.
Things were different in those days.
You sometimes wore whatever Kenton had grown out of. And he wore hand-me-downs from your cousin Tony.
And you certainly didn't always have brand new, expensive toys.
But you were clothed and fed. And as far as I recall, you were pretty well entertained. Despite not having brand new bikes and CD players and videos.
Mum, times have changed.
Our kids don't have any more than what other kids have.
People are so used to having everything they want, they just don't know how to economise anymore.
Eddie!
What?
We've got a problem.
Oh, when do we ever have anything else?
No, 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 turn that thing off.
What?
It's Edward. Look.
What's that?
It's the remains of his right football boot.
Blimey, what happened there?
He was just having a kick about with some of the other lads, so he says, and it come apart.
You want me to fix it?
That's beyond fixing, Eddie. Look at it.
I think you're right, completely knackered.
It's hardly surprising. Them boots was Williams before there was Edward.
Yeah, he gave him a right hammering.
The trouble is, love, Edward can't be in the football team if he don't have boots.
I thought they'd all that provided, the team strip.
Oh, well, they have shirts and that, but not boots. They have to have their own boots.
You mean they chuck him off the team if he don't have no boots?
Break his little heart, that would.
That was the one I spot of the past few weeks, Edward getting picked for the school team.
What are we going to do, Eddie?
We'll just have to get him some new boots, won't we?
How?
What else can we do?
Do you know how much football boots cost?
How much?
£50.
No.
And where the hell are we going to find £50, eh? Answer me that.
Are they for Daniel?
Yes. I've tried rational persuasion and it doesn't seem to work, so I thought I'd try bribery instead.
Why? What's he been doing?
Oh, refusing to let Shura and me have 5 minutes to ourselves.
Oh, dear.
Constantly demanding our attention. So, thought a little inducement in the way of chocolate buttons.
Oh, shouldn't get chocolate.
No?
They always get it all over their hands and then wipe them on your chair covers.
Oh, Shura wouldn't thank me for that.
I suppose he's not used to having to share his mum with someone else.
It's never been a problem before. I've always got on so well with him. But the past couple of evenings, well, he insists on us watching his reenactment of the pantomime.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
We missed it, you see.
Oh, yeah, of course you did.
And it was evidently the highlight of Daniel's life.
It was rather good in the end.
He went to all three performances, and he's been taking us through it scene by scene, playing all the parts himself, including the cow.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Both front and back legs.
Oh, Baggy and Snatchy's mad Clarabelle.
He usually ends up falling on the floor, giggling hysterically. I haven't quite managed to grasp why it's so funny.
You had to be there.
Hello, Susan.
Oh, hello.
Can I ask you a favour?
Afternoon.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
What sort of favour?
Oh, no, it's nothing. No, you carry on and serve Alistair. I just want to pick up a few bits and pieces.
So, not chocolate. How about these?
Oh, they'll be fine.
How much?
32 pence, please.
Right. Oh, by the way, is there any news about the new GP?
I'm afraid not, no.
It's getting rather worrying, isn't it?
There you are, 32p.
Thanks. Yeah, it's beginning to look as if the health authority can't find anyone.
Oh, dear.
Well, GPs these days all want to join a group practice, don't they?
I suppose so.
And if no one wants to work here, well, they'll just close the surgery down.
Oh, then where would we be?
I know where I'd be. I'd be out of a job.
Anyway, I must be off. Shula's expecting me. Nice being able to pop home for lunch.
How was the honeymoon?
Wonderful, thank you.
You look very well.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, just what I could do with a fortnight in the Caribbean.
You and me both.
The chances of us ever being able to afford a holiday abroad.
Oh, forget abroad. I'd set for a weekend in a caravan.
Tent in the back garden's about our limit.
Oh, look, now, Susan, I'm really sorry to ask this, but is there any chance I could use your washing machine again this evening?
This evening? Well...
I wouldn't ask, only nothing gets dry hanging round the house.
This evening's a bit difficult.
Oh.
Emma's got her friends coming round and they sort of take over the place. And Neil and I usually end up having to sit in the kitchen.
Oh, I see.
Which is bad enough without having the washing machine churning away.
Yeah, well, never mind.
Well, at least you got room to hang stuff up at Grange Farm.
Yeah, I suppose.
Our house. I think room to swing a cat. Didn't matter when the kids were little. It was cosy, but now they've grown so huge, the pair of them.
Yeah, oh, no.
Wish we could get somewhere bigger, I really do. We can barely afford the mortgage as it is. And if I lose my job at the surgery...
It's hard, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, have to see if I can pick up a few more shifts in here, I suppose. Anyway, I thought you were getting a new washing machine this week.
We were supposed to go and see one last night, but we had another disaster.
Oh,
you know how Edward was selected for the school football team?
Mm.
Well, his boots fell apart.
Oh, no.
Poor little lad were broken-hearted. So what could I do? Had to shell out 50 quid for a new pair. The only money I have are what Pat lent me. So I'm afraid the washing machine's going to have to wait.
Hello, Marjorie. Come on in.
Oh, Alistair. Come on, Portia. I must say, I'm very glad to see you back.
Didn't my locum look after you properly?
Oh, yes, he was charming. It's just, well, Portia and you are old friends, and I'm so worried about her.
We are indeed, aren't we, Portia? Yes, I'm pleased to see you too. Oh, do have a seat, Marjorie. Oh,
thank you. So, how was St. Kitts?
Oh, wonderful, quite wonderful.
I've never been to the Leeward Islands, and I don't suppose I ever shall now. Used to be a British colony, didn't it?
That's right.
Dependent on slaves and sugarcane.
Oh, that was a long time ago. The slave part, anyway. There are still sugarcane plantations, but there are wonderful areas of forest, too, where you can watch monkeys and hummingbirds.
Oh, how wonderful. A bit different from Ambridge in January.
Yes, it's a bit of a shock to the system, believe me. Anyway, tell me about Portia. How's she been?
Well, Mr. Craig took a blood sample last week.
Yes, I know.
And he asked me to drop in a specimen.
Of her urine.
Yes, which I did the same evening. And she seemed to perk up a bit at the weekend. But as you can see, she's very lethargic again today. She's drinking a lot. She seems to be permanently thirsty.
Well, that's to be expected.
Is it?
Yes. I'm sorry to say, Marjorie, that it's not good news.
Oh, dear, I expected as much.
The tests confirm that she's got a problem with her kidneys.
An infection?
No, I'm afraid... Well, it's her age. How old is she now?
15.
Yes, well, you see, that's a pretty venerable age for an Afghan, and she's... Well, bits of her are just starting to wear out.
So, she's not going to get better?
I'm afraid not, no. Although she could well be fine for several weeks yet.
I see.
On the other hand, her quality of life may start to deteriorate quite quickly.
Oh, poor old thing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
You've been together for a long time.
Since she was a little puppy.
It's very hard.
But I don't want her to suffer.
Well, you're the best judge. You know her better than anyone. As I say, she may be fine for a good while yet, but if you think she's suffering...
Oh, I shall call you immediately. Don't worry.
I thought you were going to look at one last night.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't work out.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. You got another Asbury there, and the Underwoods usually have 5 dozen, don't they?
Yes, I've got 5 dozen.
Oh, good. Right, well, this is your blackcurrant.
Thanks. What was wrong with it?
Eh?
Washing machine.
Oh.
Well, it sounded perfect.
Oh, yeah, it did, didn't it? Only, well, let's just say I didn't feel I could give 150 quid for it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, shame.
I do. Saying a washing machine's only a year old doesn't mean much, does it?
No.
Not if somebody's washing greasy overalls day after day.
Tell me about it. Right, well, these are your 0.5 litres of plain.
Thanks. And that's the lot, is it?
What about the cream? Did you fetch that out at the coal store?
Yeah, I put that in first.
Oh, right. That's it, then.
Great. So what are you going to do now?
Get back in the dairy, do the clearing up.
That I meant about the washing machine.
Oh, keep looking, I suppose. Bound to be another one for sale soon.
Afternoon.
Oh, look, here's Hayley.
Maybe in the Echo tomorrow.
Yeah, afternoon.
Hi.
You're not working today.
Got the afternoon off. I'm taking Mrs. Antrobus to the optician. Only I thought I'd drop by and tell Tommy the good news.
Oh, he's at college today.
Ah, oh, I always forget.
Tell me if you like. I could do with some good news.
Do you want me to give him a message?
Well, yeah, if you wouldn't mind. It's just I found this butcher.
Thought you had the butcher already.
No, this is a special one. Making sausages.
Sausages?
This is Hayley and Tommy's latest money-making scheme.
I got his name off the Soil Association and I rang him up. He sounded really nice.
I wish some of my family had come up with money-making schemes.
Well, he's in Birmingham, so I'm going to see him first thing in the morning.
They're very good at money-spending schemes, but when it comes to making the stuff...
You should go in for organic pigs, Clary. It's a brilliant market, you know.
Oh, I don't think so.
We could sell 3 times what we're doing now if we had the time and the space.
And I've told you before, Clary, you'd be getting double the price for your milk if you were organic.
Oh, no. But Joe reckons everyone's going to switch over.
No, not doing it yet.
And then the premium will drop off.
Not in any significant numbers.
And we'd end up with all the hassle of organic farming and none of the benefits.
I saw Ruth in the shop the other day. She was saying how they're actually making a loss on their pigs.
Yeah, I think they are.
And I thought, well... To be honest, the answer's staring him in the face.
No, but you can't become organic overnight.
Well, I know, but...
It takes 2 years, doesn't it, till you get your Soil Association badge?
At least.
Well, Joe and Eddie can't plan 2 days ahead, let alone 2 years.
And that's the difficult bit, the transition period.
Well, anyway, I must go. I'm supposed to be picking Mrs. A up at 1:30.
OK, I'll tell Tommy what you said.
Thanks. I'll be over this way tomorrow morning. I'll drop in them, tell him how I got on. All right, I'll see you.
Bye, love.
Bye, Hayley. I better get this delivery over to Underwoods.
Oh, and Pat, can I ask you something?
Of course.
Do you know anything about family credit?
Well, yeah, I helped Lisa apply some time ago. You get the forms at the post office.
Oh, yeah, right.
Why, are you thinking of applying?
I did sort of wonder, but I don't suppose we'd qualify, would we?
Well, you might do.
I mean, there's an awful lot of folks worse off than us.
Well, there's no harm in asking, Clary.
Wherever did I leave it?
In the shop.
Oh, how foolish.
You paid for it all and then you left your purse by the till.
But I suppose we'd qualify, would we?
Well, you might do.
I mean, there's an awful lot of folks worse off than us.
Well, there's no harm in asking, Clary.
Wherever did I leave it?
In the shop.
Oh, how foolish.
You paid for it all and then you left your purse by the till.
Do you know, I hadn't even realised.
Easily done, isn't it?
But how kind of you to bring it round for me.
Oh, it's no trouble. I knew it was yours because your name was in it.
Well, I bought all that expensive dog food as a special treat for Portia. She's particularly partial to...
Is she all right?
No, Susan. I'm afraid not.
Oh, what's the matter?
Can I come in? Oh, hi, Susan.
Hi, Hayley. I just brought Mrs. Antrobus's purse over.
Are you all right, Mrs. A?
I'm fine. Poor old Portia isn't, though.
Oh, no. You've been to see Alistair?
I'd been hoping that it was just some sort of infection.
But it's not.
Only, you see, until recently she's been perfectly fit, gambling like a young puppy. You'd never have thought she was 15.
It's pretty old for a dog, isn't it?
Alistair says there's nothing he can do.
Oh, dear. She's had a very good life, hasn't she?
Oh, yes. And it would be cruel to prolong it unnecessarily. It's very sad.
Look, why don't I put the kettle on?
Oh, I should have offered you a cup of tea.
No, I'll do it.
And then there's some cake in the tin.
Actually, I don't know that we've got the time.
Why not?
You haven't forgotten, have you?
What?
Your appointment with the optician.
Oh, no. Is that this afternoon?
That's why I'm here.
Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. No need to apologise.
Well, it quite slipped my mind.
What time's the appointment?
2:30.
Oh, you've got plenty of time.
Yeah, but you know what it's like trying to park in Borchester. Oh.
Hayley, my dear, I'm sorry. But I think you'd better cancel the appointment.
Again?
I really don't think I can face it. Not today.
But, Mrs. A, that'll be the third time.
I'm sorry, I really am. But at the moment, I just want to stay here with Portia.
This one's from the architect.
Well, that was quick. He only came on Monday.
It's just to confirm that he will be sending us the full specification next week.
Oh, God.
You consider that the actual repair bill is going to be 97,000.
And the rest.
Come on, Lizzie, don't let it get you down.
How else is it supposed to get me?
At least we're making some progress.
It just feels as if everyone is using our misfortune as an opportunity to make money. Oh, goody, they cry. Death Watch Beetle at Lower Loxley. Now we can really line our pockets.
But think of all the employment we're providing. All those carpenters and roofers. Oh, I say, Lizzie, listen to this.
What?
Dear Mr. Pargeter, we are a company specialising in the development of seasonally owned luxury apartments.
Seasonally owned?
It means timeshare.
Oh.
And we are seeking to acquire properties of character for possible conversion.
What?
They want to buy Lower Loxley.
Buy Lower Loxley?
And convert it into holiday flats.
Well, presumably this company has heard we've got financial problems and have decided to target us.
Oh, no, I shouldn't think so. I'm sure every minor stately home in Borchester has got one of these.
Do you reckon?
Oh, you're still here.
Your spell not worked again?
My heart.
I should try and drop more bat's blood.
Stop it, Lizzie.
Sorry.
I thought you were both going to be out this morning.
Why? What are you up to?
Nothing.
Well, I've got an appointment with a land agent. And aren't you supposed to be seeing that chap about the brochures?
Yes.
And what time will you be back?
Why?
I just don't want to be in your way.
You want to use our computer?
Creativity requires such discipline, you see. Unless I spend a couple of hours every day communing with my muse.
Oh, give me strength.
Get your nose out of it. Go on, out of it. Oh, look what you've done now.
What?
No, not you, the stupid pig. The nuts have gone everywhere except in a trough.
I can root around in the mud and find them. That's what pigs like, isn't it? Rooting around.
Not in mud like this.
It is a bit grim, isn't it? Nearly lost me welly a couple of times.
So what are you doing here?
Didn't your mum tell you?
Tell me what?
I went to see you.
Oh, damn, look at that.
What?
I've ripped a great hole in my sleeve.
Not your day, is it?
I've known better.
Well, this'll cheer you up.
Can I just get into the next pen?
Don't you want to hear about this butcher?
Now, don't stand in the trough, you stupid thing. And they say pigs are intelligent.
What's the matter, Tommy?
Nothing.
Come on, not your usual cheery self.
Oh, it's just mum.
What's she doing?
Just been having a go, you know, what she's like.
What about?
About taking college seriously.
What you do?
And being responsible and showing initiative.
Initiative? What's our sausage thing if it's not initiative?
And being more like Helen.
Is that what she said?
That's what she implied. You know, Helen does this, Helen does that.
Helen's not here.
She'll be back at the weekend though, won't she?
Oh, will she?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Now listen, Tommy. Whose idea was it we should go in for sausages?
Yours.
No, it wasn't. It was yours.
I'm sure you suggested it first.
I didn't.
Well, whatever.
I just did the legwork, made a few phone calls, found this butcher.
What butcher?
I went to see an organic butcher in Birmingham, and he says he'll make us up some trial batches of different ones.
Different what?
Sausages. You know, coarse ground, fine ground meat, different proportions of rusk, different herbs and spices.
Well, I thought a sausage was a sausage.
So did I, he told me. I must have thought I was thick as a fence post.
Well, what about all the other stuff we'd need? You know, for the packaging?
Gone into all that.
Already?
Yep. Got it all priced up, vacuum packing, sticky labels.
Right, let's go and find Mum. You can fill me in on the details as we go along.
OK.
And then we'll see what she has to say about showing initiative.
It was a fine spring morning. Why is it doing that?
Oh, switch off a minute.
If you could just try and read in your normal voice.
Well, that is my normal voice.
Were you rather overemphasising things? Sort of fine, spring, moist.
I don't speak like that.
Well, everyone does it. Talks to the computer as if it was deaf.
I do have a trained voice, you know. There's absolutely nothing wrong with my diction.
Yeah, but what happens, you see, is the computer writes all the words with an A on the end.
Well, I can't imagine why.
Try not to, you know, perform.
Oh, let me have another go.
Okay, switch on.
How sweet to be a cloud floating in the blue. Every little cloud... Oh. I don't think this is at all suitable, you know.
What?
Winnie the Pooh.
Well, it's just a sample piece of text.
But the novel that I'm writing is aimed at a rather more adult audience. It's an epic tale of grand passions and betrayals.
But the computer doesn't understand the content.
About as far as you can get from stuffed bears and fluffy clouds.
It's the sound of your voice that matters. There's all sorts of different bits of text.
Well, could you try something a little more sophisticated?
Well, if you like, yeah. But the idea is you've got to read them all. Some bits of technical language, some bits of poetry.
How long's that going to take?
About 45 minutes.
I've got to sit here reading aloud to a computer for 3/4 of an hour.
Well, the more information you give it, the better it'll respond.
Oh.
Oh, you're back already.
Morning, Nigel.
Hello, morning. What brings you here?
Well, Mrs. Pargeter asked me to get hold of this package for her.
What package?
Software.
It's terribly clever, Nigel. You talk to the computer and it writes down everything you say.
Voice recognition software.
And it's just what I need. It's my lack of typing skill that's been holding back my creativity.
How much did that cost?
Oh, Nigel, don't be so bourgeois. Is a check all right for you, Robert?
Yep, fine.
Mummy, that account is supposed to be for saving money.
But this will save money, darling.
I got it at trade.
Even so?
They are remarkably cheap nowadays, these things.
A bargain, you see. And it'll pay for itself in no time at all. Now, there you are. And thank you so much.
Well, don't you want me to stay in...
Oh, no. I think I've got the hang of it now.
Right. But you understand, don't you? You really should read through all those bits of text.
Yes, you told me that already.
And get the machine familiar with your voice. Yes. Otherwise, it won't work properly.
I understand.
Bye, Robert.
Well, if you have any problems...
We'll give you a call.
Right.
I'll see myself out. Bye, then.
Bye.
Oh, Mummy.
What?
When are you going to learn?
But this is going to make all the difference, darling. Now, here, come here. Lean over me and have a look at this microphone. I'll just turn it on and give you a demonstration.
Buying these things at a discount is not the same as saving money.
Oh, look. Nigel, it seems to have picked up your voice.
What does it say? Burying things at a disco is not the same as slaying money.
Oh, it's gibberish.
I don't know. It may not be picking up my voice very well, but it's doing a very fair job of reading my mind.
We want to talk to you about our sausages.
Well, I'm just off to do the deliveries.
5 minutes, OK?
Well, how did you get on yesterday, Hayley?
Oh, you mean today? First thing this morning?
No. I meant with Mrs. Antrobus. You were taking her to the opticians.
Oh, we never made it.
You see, what this butcher
really
says...
sad, actually. You know her doc, Portia?
Yes.
She's not been very well. Mrs. A took her along to the vet, but it turns out... Well, I mean, she's 15 years old, really.
15? That's pretty old for an Afghan, isn't it?
Yeah. So it turns out there's not a lot they can do.
Oh, dear.
Poor Mrs. A. She was a bit upset about it.
Oh, I can imagine.
She said she'd rather stay with Portia at the moment than go to the opticians.
I'm not surprised.
It's getting a bit embarrassing. I've made another appointment for the week after next, but I'm beginning to wonder.
What?
Well, that's the third appointment she's cried off.
Look, are we going to talk about these sausages or not?
Yes, just a sec, Tommy. Only it did occur to me, maybe she's more worried than she lets on.
You may be right.
She's scared of going to the optician in case they tell her that her eyes are packing up.
So for no reason. I mean, last month she had flu.
Well, yeah. If you're going to stand here and gossip...
It's not gossip.
I'll go and get on with some work.
All right. Sausages. I went to see this butcher, OK? Oh, he was really, really nice, incidentally.
And he said if we deliver the meat to him one day, we can pick up the finished sausages the next. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he'd be happy to do £50 a month.
£50 weight, that is.
Oh, yeah. And we could sell them fresh or frozen and charge £2 a half kilo.
At least £2.
And what about packaging?
Well, he'll pack them for us, but it's like you said, we'd have to supply them with the vacuum packer.
Which will cost... how much did you say?
About £500.
And labels?
The best deal we could find was a graphic design company in Felpershire who will do a design and manufacture 5,000 sticky labels for £1,700.
So we need to borrow £2,200.
Well, how long for?
What do you reckon, Hayley?
2 years?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to talk to Tony about it, and you'll still have to give us your business plan. I might run it past Helen when she's home this weekend.
What's it got to do with Helen?
She knows a lot more about the food industry than any of us do. But I'm sure she'll think it's a great scheme.
But not as good as her yoghurt idea.
I'd rather have an organic sausage than a frozen prune yoghurt any day.
So can we go ahead and get some samples made up?
Well, maybe we
should... Well, after all, we need to market test them. Then we can add the information to the business plan. You can't launch a new product without market testing. Isn't that what Helen says?
He emerged from behind the proscenium arch. No, he didn't merge the senior march. Oh, damn this thing. Microphone off. And now delete. Oh, right, let's try again. Microphone on. He emerged from behind the proscenium arch as Evangeline... Oh, no, not again. Oh, microphone off. Delete. Oh, if it goes on like this, I'm going to have to change her name to Jane. Microphone on. Evangeline stood quaking. Oh, hell, teeth, not baking, quaking. Oh, what? No, he's not here. What? No, there is nobody here except me. Oh, Lord, now look what's happened. Why does it record me perfectly when I'm speaking into the phone? What? No, I was not talking to you. Now I can't turn the damn thing off.
Julia?
Look, do you want to leave a message or do you not? Well, there's no need to use that sort of language.
Is it?
And the same to you. Goodbye.
Who on earth was that?
I don't know and I don't care.
Julia, how many times have I told you, if you insist on answering the office phone...
Just look at that!
You must be polite and you must take messages.
It's doing it for you.
What?
The computer. It was just the same with Nigel.
Is this microphone a voice activator?
It picks up your voice perfectly well, but makes a complete hash of mine. Oh, now why won't it switch off?
How on earth did you get hold of that?
Ah, that's got it. Oh, Robert Snell.
Robert Snell?
Yeah, came and installed it this morning. It's so that I can dictate my novel straight to the computer.
Right, that is it.
It's going to save me so much time once I get over these teething problems.
If you want to write a novel, you can go and do it in your own room.
But I need this computer.
That is the office computer. We run our business from this office. And to be perfectly honest, I'm sick to my back teeth of having all our hard work undermined.
But Elizabeth...
I don't want you in here, and you're not to lay a finger on that computer ever again. Do you understand?
I think we should just chuck it out and buy a new one.
Yeah.
By the time you carted it to the repair shop again... and left it there for 3 weeks.
I don't think I could manage 3 weeks without a microwave.
And it's only, what, a couple of hundred quid for a new one?
What would your mum say?
Oh, no, don't start on that.
I brought up 4 children and I managed perfectly well without a microwave.
Yeah, well, she didn't work full-time on the farm like you do.
Can you chuck us over that other bale?
Yeah. She had time to slave over a hot stove. There you go.
Thanks. We're going to have to go into Borchester tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Got to get Pip some new school shoes as well.
What happened to the last pair?
They're squashing her toes. Her feet have grown so much over the past few months. She's going to end up like you, size 12s.
Perhaps I should run her up a pair. Bit of old cowhide and soles cut from used car tyres.
That'd impress your mum.
Yeah.
I can't get over the way she made into us.
It was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
A bit unnerving when your mum starts having a go as well.
Yeah. Well, don't let it get to you.
Difficult not to. Go on, out the way, you daft animal. I must say, it would be easier if we didn't have quite so many calves in here.
I'll tell you what we should do.
What's that?
We should give Alan a ring.
I don't think even the best farm consultant could solve our overcrowding problem.
No, I was talking about the finances.
Oh.
I mean, it might help, having someone cast an objective eye over the situation.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think that's
going to
have to do for straw.
Oh, damn, I forgot.
What?
That new spreader, I was supposed to pick it up this week, went clean out of my mind. Better give the chap a ring.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Sheila.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I've come for lunch. Only I just wanted to say if you'd like to see my honeymoon photos.
Oh, have you got them back already?
Oh, no, is that the time? I should have picked Josh up 10 minutes ago. Oh, why don't you both come up to the house?
To be honest, by the time I've gotten home and seen to our lunch...
Well, some other time.
Yeah, don't be too long, David.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
What?
Well, I thought Ruth had decided to forgive and forget.
Oh, she has.
Oh, come on, David. I can recognise a frosty reception when I get one.
She was in the office again this morning after I told her quite categorically...
I know.
..that she was not to use the computer and not to answer the office phone.
What would you like in your sandwich?
She was horrendously rude to the MD of that packaging place. Do you know, I had to ring back and grovel for about half an hour.
Oh, dear.
It really undermines a client's confidence, you know, when they discover that you have a mad woman on the loose.
I've told her before about answering the phone.
Well, I want her barred from the office.
But, Lizzie...
I mean it, Nigel. The office is for business. It's not Julia's personal playroom.
Now she's got this voice recognition software...
I want that deleted.
Deleted?
Yes. Apart from anything else, she can't make it work properly.
Well, she does seem to be having a lot of trouble.
Those programmes have to be set up very carefully. You need to spend time getting the thing up and running, and she obviously got bored halfway through.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, it's not properly installed. Recognises my voice all right.
Yeah, and mine.
But it can't cope with Julia. A bit like the rest of us.
But she spent all the money on it.
Well, more fool her.
Now, what do you want in the sandwich?
I don't want a sandwich. I'm going to Brookfield.
Brookfield? What for?
Because I've had just about all I can take for one morning. And if when I get back, I find your mother still messing
about... All right, all right. I'll do it. I'll print it out and then I'll get all her stuff off the computer.
And tell her she's not to touch it anymore.
Right.
Good.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's not your fault.
She's my mother.
It's just this whole...
What?
Oh, the roof, the Death Watch beetle. I was awake half the night doing the sums in my head.
I'm trying very hard not to think about the money.
But we have to. It's going to take our overdraft into the stratosphere.
It's pretty frightening, isn't it?
And I imagine the next 20 years just working. Working, and it's not for us. It's not for you and me.
I know.
It's just to pay off this massive debt.
But what else can we do, Lizzie? Sit back and wait for the house to crumble around our ears?
And farming your way out of recession.
That was the title of his talk, yeah.
Did he have all the answers?
Well, you know, the usual message. Controlling your fixed costs, that sort of thing.
Well, you know that.
Well, yes. Well, it was all pretty obvious stuff. Adding value, aiming for specialist markets.
We'll just be here in the kitchen, Daniel. All right.
Is he okay?
Yes. He's watching his farm and sound video.
Oh, isn't he bored with that yet?
I certainly am.
No.
I think we watched it every single day while you were away.
But, you know, it makes you realise just how well Ruth did with that speech of hers.
What?
You know, when she spoke to that conference at Stoneleigh.
Well, Dad was just telling me about this NFU meeting yesterday.
Oh, I see.
And the speech by this banker.
Well, he was a bit of a waffler, to be honest. Ruth could have knocked spots off him.
You must tell her.
Oh, yes, I will.
Now, do you want to see the rest of these photos?
Oh, yes. Look, let me just clear these dirty dishes off the table.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. That pudding was delicious.
Mm.
Yes, it was one of Auntie Prue's.
Oh, really? Oh, you must give him the recipe. Alistair would love it.
Of course I will.
Thanks. Anyway, this is the last film, you'll be glad to hear.
Oh, it's a funny thing, isn't it?
What?
David and Ruth. I mean, they know what needs to be done.
Now, let's not get started on that, Phil.
But, I mean, they know the theory, both of them. But they just haven't got the self-discipline. Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's a generational thing.
Now, this is the famous Penny's Beach.
Oh, isn't that gorgeous?
Mm. You youngsters have never learnt the practice of thrift.
Look, Phil... It's just like you imagine a tropical island to be.
Hmm? Oh, yes. A bit different from our honeymoon.
Certainly was, yes. Absolutely.
And now, this is Montpellier Great House, where Lord Nelson got married.
Did he really?
To a widow called Fanny Nesbitt, apparently for her uncle's money.
I never knew that.
What on earth's Alistair doing?
These are lily ponds with the most enormous toads you've ever seen.
Toads?
You know what Alistair's like when it comes to wildlife. This is the Church of St. John's Fig Tree, where you can see Nelson's marriage certificate.
That reminds me. David took some lovely photos of you and Alistair at the church.
Oh, did he?
After the blessing.
Oh, good. We've got lots of pictures from Lower Loxley, but when we got to the church... Oh, you know, I was so surprised by the number of people who turned up.
You want to ask him to show you?
Oh, I will. Although...
What?
I don't know. I'm entirely welcome at the bungalow just now.
Why ever not?
Ruth was distinctly cool.
Oh, dear. Are you sure?
Yeah. I don't understand those two sometimes. I mean, look, just suppose the bank called in the overdraft.
Phil, please.
I mean, it's not as if Ruth was born with a silver spoon.
Oh, I don't think the Pritchards are short of a bob or two.
No, but she's used to doing without. I mean, do you remember when she first came here? I mean, that terrible old duffel coat she used to wear, and her elbows were always out.
Can I come in?
Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, this is a surprise.
I just had to get away from Lower Loxley for a couple of hours.
Too late for lunch, I'm afraid. We've eaten it all.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, what's wrong?
Oh, the usual. Hey, what are these?
My honeymoon photos.
Let's see. Oh, doesn't it look heavenly? Oh, is the sea really that colour?
Yes.
What would I not give to be whisked away to some tropical island? Just me and Nigel.
Oh, well, look, you stay and look at those photographs. I must be off.
Well, don't let me drive you away, Dad.
Oh, no, I've got to get some silage out to the ewes. Where's my coat?
It's on the back of the door.
Oh, yeah.
What's this?
Oh, well, that was New Year. They have this fantastic carnival. The costumes are just amazing. Well, I mean, you can see. And the music went on all night.
Oh. I'll see you later.
All right.
Oh, bye, Dad. Bye.
Steel bands, calypso, and the entire population's out on the streets.
Oh, I can hardly remember my honeymoon. Oh. Only 4 years ago. Feels more like 40.
Oh, darling.
Oh, you do sound fed up.
Is it Julia?
Well, she doesn't help. She's supposed to be economising, but every economy seems to involve spending more money. And I know what's going to happen. Nigel's going to end up paying off this Hardwick bloke, and we simply can't afford it.
I know how you feel.
I'm sorry, Mum. It's a bit undiplomatic complaining to a farmer about money.
Oh, no, darling. We may have a few problems just now.
But at least you haven't got Death Watch Beetle in the roof.
Quite.
We got a letter in the post yesterday from this property developer who wanted to buy Lower Loxley and convert it into timeshare apartments.
What? Timeshare? Surely not.
Seriously.
Nigel would never...
No, no, of course he wouldn't. But it made me think. I mean, well, we could sell. We don't have to live like this.
After all, you married Nigel. You didn't marry the house.
Exactly. But ever since we've been married, we've worked for that house. I mean, we've had to make the business succeed, not for ourselves, but to pay for the damp and the plumbing and the rewiring. And every time we seem to be getting on top of things, another disaster strikes. We're like worker bees toiling away to feed this great bloated queen, which is Lower Loxley.
Is Dad here?
Hi, David.
You just missed him. Do you want me to give him a message?
No, I've got to speak to him. He's really gone too far this time.
Well, what's he done?
Do you know where he went?
Yes, he said he was going to take some silage to the ewes.
Right, I'll go and find
him. But David!
Oh, dear. What is it this time? He and your father are just... Whew. I don't know.
With everyone in Ambridge being so utterly miserable, I bet you're wishing you'd stayed in St. Kitts, aren't you?
I just wish I could do something to help.
Well, I'll feel better in a day or two. It's just sometimes I have this fantasy. Just me and Nigel. No staff, no mother-in-law. Just the two of us, living in a nice, ordinary house with three bedrooms and a neat little garden.
Oh, darling. But Nigel would never leave Lower Loxley.
No, I don't suppose he would.
Dad? Dad, I want a word with you.
Oh, what about?
I've just been on the phone to the bloke I bought the fertiliser spreader off. To make arrangements to go and collect the thing.
Yes, I meant to tell you about that.
Yeah, and he informs me that he sold it to someone else.
Yes.
Because you told him we didn't need it at Brookfield after all.
Look, what happened was he phoned up on, Wednesday, wanting to know when he could expect payment.
And you decided, off your own bat, that you were cancelling.
Because, he said, he had another buyer interested. So I thought, well, all things considered, if we can get out of this without offending the vendor...
For heaven's sake, we need that equipment.
Not at that price.
It was cheap.
We really can't afford to spend that sort of money in present circumstances.
Oh, and you decided that, did you? Without consulting me, without consulting any of the partners.
You tried to buy the thing without consulting me.
It was a dispersal sale, for heaven's sake. I had to decide there and then.
You made a significant financial commitment without discussing with me or your mother, and before we'd agreed on a financial strategy.
Before we'd what?
And since you wouldn't agree to a financial strategy...
What are you talking about?
At the meeting on Tuesday. You wouldn't agree to any of the cutbacks we suggested.
Oh, so you decided to get your own back.
No, this isn't a game.
I know it isn't.
You just don't seem to grasp the seriousness of our situation.
Oh, come on, Dad.
But the future of this farm is in jeopardy, David. And if you won't do anything about it, then I have to.
The Archers was written by Caroline Harrington and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Alec Reed and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.